This morning we're turning to Mark chapter 5 and the first 20 verses, where we read of a man called Legion, a man we could describe as the devil's champion. The scene is initially calm. It's a moonlight shining on the Sea of Galilee, because in an awesome display of his divine and regal power, the Lord Jesus Christ has calmed a raging storm and a raging sea by his powerful word. The disciples had been with Jesus in the boat, some of those disciples fishermen themselves, but they'd been frightened. The boat was close to sinking, waves crashing in on their boat in a violent, sudden storm. But at the word of Jesus, the winds and the waves obey his will. So now there is a great calm. And the moonlight shimmers across the Sea of Galilee. The sea that had been raging is now as smooth as glass. And the disciples are filled with awe. They know they're in the presence of someone who is more than a mere man. Nature has recognized the voice of its creator, its ruler, its king. The winds and the waves have obeyed him. Who can this be, the disciples ask, that even the wind and the sea obey him? But then as the boat makes its way across that now calm sea with the moon shining, the Lord Jesus and the disciples hear the piercing and irrational screams and shrieks of a disturbed man. Because the Lord Jesus Christ and his disciples are shortly going to meet Legion, the devil's champion. And the first word I want to use to describe this man is disturbed. Disturbed. He was an obviously disturbed man. And what was the cause of his condition? What caused Legion to be as disturbed as he was? Well, Mark tells us in chapter 5, verse 2, that when Jesus had come out of the boat, immediately they met him out of the tombs, a man with an unclean spirit. In other words, this disturbed man was disturbed because his personality was dominated by the power of an unclean spirit. Indeed, as we read on, we find that this was no ordinary case of demon possession. One demon, one foul, evil personality taking hold of the human personality. But in verse 9, when Jesus asks, "What is your name?" he answered, saying, "My name is Legion, for we are many." Now, taken literally, the name Legion means 6,000. So a legion of Roman soldiers. 6,000 soldiers trained to work together in the military power of Rome. In Palestine, the presence of a legion spoke of unconquerable power. The unconquerable power of Roman might and Roman military oppression. So when the demon responds and says, "My name is Legion, for we are many," that's an acknowledgement. Many evil spirits had invaded this human personality. So unless you're prepared to ignore the plain testimony of the Bible in carnal arrogance or damning skepticism, the answer to the cause, what was the cause of this man's condition? The cause is clear. The ultimate cause was he was possessed by a number of evil spirits. And I think it's been rightly said that those who refuse to believe in the devil will end up refusing to believe in God. So if you're here this morning and you are skeptical over the plain testimony of the Bible, beware. The Bible says there are such things as demons, evil spirits, that can invade the human personality. And to deny that is to deny the plain testimony of the Word of God. And the man, the woman who in arrogant skepticism doubts the existence of the devil will ultimately doubt the existence of God and will doubt the deity of Jesus Christ himself. Mark also tells us where Legion lived, verse 3. He had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one could bind him, not even with chains. On the eastern shores of the Sea of Galilee, there was a small town called Cursa. And there were natural and man-made caves that were used as burying places for the dead. So this man lived in those caves, lived among the embalmed bodies and bones of the dead. Now, for a Jew to touch a dead body was to be rendered ceremonially unclean. So the very place where this man lived, as it were, symbolized uncleanness. The uncleanness to which this man had sunk. He was thrown out of society. He was cast off, cut off from friends and family. He lived among the dead. And Mark then describes that Legion was frightening in his supernatural strength. No one could bind him because he'd often been bound with shackles and chains, verse 4. And the chains had been pulled apart by him and the shackles broken in pieces. Neither could anyone tame him. That's why I'm calling him the devil's champion. He was infamous. Keep away from Legion. Don't go near Legion. He is a crazy man with supernatural strength. He's the devil's champion. And frightening also in his shrieking and screaming, verse 5. Always night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. So he was frenzied in his screaming and in his self-destruction, cutting himself with stones. So we can imagine what this man looked like. Scars from old wounds, cuts half dried, caked with dust and blood, open wounds, this frenzied self-destruction. And Luke tells us in Luke chapter 8, verse 27, that he was flagrant in his nakedness. So all sense of modesty was gone. All sense of propriety was gone. This was a wild, uncontrolled, disturbed, demon-possessed man. What were Legion's prospects for any change? Verse 4, Mark tells us, neither could anyone tame him. From a human standpoint, there was no hope. No hope at all. No man could tame him. No man could subdue him. So his prospects to be helped and changed, humanly speaking, zero. You can only imagine, can't you, that one day in the towns around their Gadarenes, that joyful news had gone out. Mr. and Mrs. Cohen, or whatever their name was, had had a baby boy, and all the hopes and expectations and longings. And then that little boy growing up to end up this frightening, this shocking picture of this disturbed man, Legion. And you may say to me this morning, well, we're all here in church this morning. We're a million miles away from that. But I do want to warn you that here is a picture of the devil's true intention for you. What would the devil do if he could to you? Jesus said, John 8, verse 44, the devil was a murderer from the beginning. John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. What does the devil want to do to you? Steal, kill you, destroy you. That's actually the devil's true intention for every human being. Destroy you, just like he destroyed Legion. If he could, every last vestige of the image of God, obliterate it. Determined that human beings would be made in God's image and after God's likeness are destroyed. The devil hates God, hates those who are made in the image of God. If he could, the devil would do to you what he did precisely to this man. Drive you to the realms of the dead and have your cries join the cries of those who are lost in hell forever. So in a way, this description of Legion is a description of the closest description in the Bible of hell on earth. The Bible describes hell like this. being cast into outer darkness. Here's a man who's in outer darkness, legion. No hope at all. But lest we should think, oh, we're all a million miles away from this. Let me read to you the way the Bible describes those who are not joined in living faith to Jesus Christ. This is Ephesians chapter 2, and verses 1 to 3. You were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves. Notice that? Not just legion conducted himself. Not just the worst people in prison conducted themselves. We all conducted ourselves like this. In the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as the others. So if the devil could, here's his intention, here's the devil's true colours, we should never forget it, the devil's plans and wiles and stratagems, he may at this moment be keeping you respectable, well-clothed, modest, moral, even religious. But his intention is destroy you. Take you to the place of outer darkness forever. He is a disturbed man. The second word I want to use to describe him is delivered. Legion was disturbed. Legion was delivered. How electric the atmosphere must have been when this disturbed man, his body cut with all the marks and scars where he'd been cutting himself, screaming, shrieking, hair matted, dirty, naked, fearfully strong. And this man now comes towards Jesus and the band of disciples who've got off the boat as the boat has crossed the Sea of Galilee. And as Legion approached, the Lord Jesus immediately recognized the demonic influence, commanded, come out of the man, unclean spirit. And Legion then, instead of pouncing on Jesus in a frenzy, Legion fell at Jesus' feet. Like someone in the presence of a king. There's every indication that the demon recognized the authority of Jesus. Luke says this, that Legion cried out, what have I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me. So here's the true relationship between Jesus, the Son of God, and demons. In a way, it's a picture of what's coming at the last day, when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So there's no doubt at all about the outcome in this encounter. There's no doubt, will Legion overpower Jesus or will Jesus deliver Legion? No, there's no doubt about that at all. Legion falls down at the feet of Jesus. It's a picture of the fact that the devil, the demons, all the powers of darkness, all the powers of hell unknown, are subject to the word and the person of Jesus, the Son of God. What an amazing deliverance is brought to this man. At the word of Jesus, this man who'd been banished from society because of his mad, disturbed behavior, written off, hopeless case. Even when chained up, he'd broken the chains. A man incurably abandoned to the powers of darkness. Jesus speaks, he is delivered. The demons enter 2,000 pigs. They run violently over a cliff edge and are drowned in the sea. When Jesus delivers him, what happens? Mark says, verse 15, the one who had been demon-possessed came to Jesus, sitting, not agitated, not restless, not madly running around now, no longer screaming and running around like a disturbed person, sitting and clothed. No longer in flagrant nakedness, properly clothed, covered, and in his right mind. No longer out of control, not deranged, not volatile, not leaping and screaming and shouting anymore, not cutting himself with stones anymore, delivered by the mighty word of power from Jesus, the Son of God. So the same word of Jesus that had calmed the raging sea of Galilee, that had calmed the storm, had also calmed a storm in the heart of Legion, this disturbed man of Gadara. And Mark is saying, here is the Lord in absolute control. He's Lord. He's Lord over nature. He's Lord of creation. He's Lord over demonic powers. He's Lord over all. And if we had been there, what would have filled our mind? What point is Mark pressing on him, the conscience of each one of us? I think the point Mark is making is, if we had been there, our minds would have been felt, would have felt a sense of wonder. The wonder of the mercy and power and grace of Jesus, the Son of God. Who else could have helped? Who else could have delivered? Who else could have saved Legion? From the human standpoint, his prospects of change had been zero. But Jesus could change him. Jesus could deliver him. Jesus could save him. He was beyond human power, but he was not beyond the power of Jesus, because he needed omnipotent mercy. And that's what he received from Jesus. Omnipotent mercy. Gracious mercy. Legion was beyond hope, humanly speaking. Presumably, he'd come to this pitiable state because he was in an advanced abandonment to sin. What Legion needed was grace. God's favor to the ill-deserving. God giving something that we do not deserve. And the Bible says Jesus was manifest to destroy the works of the devil. And I'm saying, if Jesus can save Legion, if Jesus can deliver Legion, Jesus can save and deliver you and me. Now, the Bible is pressing on our conscience then, that sense of finding deliverance in Jesus Christ, feeling a need of him. You see, you may say to me this morning, oh, I'm not so bad to need deliverance, to need saving. And if you say that, I fear you don't know who you really are. Because we all need a saving from pride, from self-will, from self-love, self-reliance. But Jesus has no salvation for those who think they can save themselves. But those who sense their need of omnipotent mercy, sinners, because of an internal disposition to sin, and also an action in life, the good news here is there is grace, there is undeserved favor from the living God of heaven. That the Jesus who delivered Legion went to the ultimate deliverance of the cross, the deliverance of resurrection, his victory over death and hell and sin, in all the display of his power and glory. So that now all authority has been given to Jesus in heaven and on earth. This is the Savior you need, Mark is saying. Here's the great message of the deliverance of Legion. Jesus can save you, whoever you are, whatever you've done, whatever your background, whatever your circumstances, young, old, rich, poor, black, white, whatever nationality. Jesus can set you free. Set you free from the chains of pride and self-will and lust, the latest dirty joke, love of self, jealousy, anger. He breaks the power of cancelled sin. He sets the prisoner free. His blood can make the foulest clean. His blood availed for me. Jesus can set you free. And that's what Mark is wonderfully declaring to all of us this morning. This disturbed man, this delivered man. Disturbed, delivered, thirdly, disciple. This change that Mark tells us of. So much of a change that in verse 18, when Jesus got into the boat, he who had been demon-possessed begged him that he might be with him. Lord, he said to Jesus, I want to be with you now. And yet Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things the Lord has done for you and how he's had compassion on you. So go back home, Jesus says to Legion. Go home. Go back to the people who saw what you were like most fully before my mighty power delivered you. Let them see now that at every level, you are a transformed man. You're a new man. And here's the evidence that professed faith in Jesus Christ is real. Your life before your family, your husband, your wife, your mum, your dad, your brother, your sister. Something's happened to you. Something's changed you. There's no explanation except God in grace has done something through Jesus Christ. See, it's relatively easy to impress people who don't know you very well. But it's not so easy to dupe family. People who know you when you're most vulnerable to temptation. It's a wonderful thing when people say, there's no explanation, you know, for that person's changed life. My husband, my wife, my son, my daughter, my brother, my sister, my father, my mother, whatever it is. No explanation, except Jesus has done something to them. And here's a picture of it in the saving power of Jesus in the deliverance of Legion. When the herdsmen ran into town and said, come and see what's happened. The pigs have run over the cliff and drowned, and Legion is now a changed man. He's sitting, he's clothed, he's in his right mind. He's a new man. Come and see. He's not running around like a madman anymore. He's not cutting himself with stones anymore. He's not screaming and shouting anymore. When they saw with their own eyes this transformation, they knew the deliverance was real. They couldn't see Legion's heart, but out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. His sitting revealed a changed heart. His clothing revealed a changed heart. His right mind revealed a changed heart. It's a wonderful picture of the gospel. And the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Your new life shows, it's an evidence, it's real, that Jesus has changed you. If you're still like Legion, yelling and screaming and shouting and cutting yourself, or it may be your patterns of life in self-will and self-reliance are not as obvious as Legion's were. But when Jesus changes someone, the proud become humble, the greedy become generous, the drunk become sober, the drug addict seeks help, the foul mouth becomes clean mouthed, the selfish become considerate, the sexually promiscuous become chaste. The adulterer stops that lifestyle and becomes faithful. Those who formerly lived and said, me first, now say, Jesus first. So that proves a changed life. It shows that salvation is real. So the Lord, yes, imputes the righteousness of Jesus Christ to all who trust in him. But saving faith in Jesus Christ also means God does something powerfully in you. He changes your life. There's a famous preacher in Wales called Christmas Evans. He was born on Christmas Day. He has a sermon about Legion. His sermon is an unusual sermon. He was a slightly unusual preacher. So his sermon is, here's Mrs. Legion and her children in their house. And news comes, Legion is coming home. So Christmas Evans says, they barricade the doors. And they barricade the windows. And they try to make their home as secure as possible from this disturbed man. And then Mrs. Legion looks out of the house through a crack in the window. She sees in the distance this figure coming in. And she says, that can't be him. He's walking along the path. That can't be him. He's not covered in blood. That can't be him. He's clean. That can't be him. He's not screaming and shouting. That can't be him. This is a new man. But it is him. Because Jesus has delivered him. I wonder if anyone has ever said about you, I wonder what's happened to him. I wonder what's happened to her. that man, that woman has changed. Look at that man, look at that woman. Carrying and reading a Bible. Going to church. Go to church 3 times a week, Sunday morning, Sunday evening, Bible study. Going crazy, this person. He's a new person. Going to a prayer meeting. He's a new person. Doesn't enjoy anymore all the swearing and infidelity that pours out of the TV. That man, he's a new man. He doesn't tell dirty jokes anymore. That woman, she's a new woman. She's now got a peace that she never had before. See, what's conversion? What's deliverance? That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by him to do his will. This change from disturbed to delivered to disciple. No one is beyond the power of God's grace. Because if ever anyone seemed to be a hopeless case, it was Legion. No one could tame him, but Jesus could. No one could help him, but Jesus delivered him. And you may feel overpowered this morning. You say, my life is in such a mess. Who can sort out my life? Sinful chains cling to your wrists and ankles. But you're not beyond the power of Jesus. Everyone else might have given up on Legion. When Jesus said to his disciples in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35, let us cross over to the other side. Why do you think he said that? Why did he go across the Sea of Galilee? He knew Legion was on the other side. He knew that Legion's situation was hopeless unless he delivered Legion. But if Jesus could get to Legion, if Jesus met with Legion, if Jesus intervened, then there was great hope for Legion. Because as the word of Jesus calmed that raging storm on the sea, and there was a great calm, so at the word of Jesus, the storm that raged in Legion's life was calmed. Sitting, clothed in his right mind, he experienced the deliverance of Jesus. So that from then on, wherever Jesus went, Legion wanted to be with him. But Jesus said, no, you live out that new life before those who know you best. And that's what God's grace can do. So I want to say to you this morning, Jesus is a mighty Savior for you. Whatever your sin, whatever your past, whatever your circumstances, whatever your present difficulties or problems or troubles, you go in faith to Jesus Christ, he will set you free. He'll cleanse you. He'll break all the chains that bind you. You will find him still a Savior of omnipotent grace and mercy and forgiveness. And Mark is telling you about Legion because he's saying, look, if Jesus can do this for Legion, he can do this for you, for you, for you. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you this morning for the omnipotent grace and love and mercy in our Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior this is. The Savior who delivered Legion. The testimony of many here this morning. The Savior who brought deliverance to us, brought deliverance to me. We thank you that we have a gospel that can tell men and women everywhere a Savior who can deliver them. And so we pray, Lord, that by the word of your power, you will bring deliverance to hearts and minds here and to the hearts and minds of many in days to come. And we thank you that until the Savior comes in glory to this world, we have this good news to proclaim. Help us as we seek to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Now we're going to sing a hymn that we sang actually last Sunday evening to close. I'm going to try and encourage you to sing this hymn, though, in two parts as men and women. It's a hymn, "Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing my great Redeemer's praise. Glories of my God and King, the triumphs of his grace." But then, I wonder if you can just play through the parts where it goes, the triumphs of his grace. minute. Now, if we all sing that part, that's the men's part, okay? But you're not all men this morning. So we're going to get some of the ladies to sing the ladies' part. Can you sing the ladies' part? Or play the ladies' part?
I don't think it's on the accompaniment.
So okay. So
I don't
know who to do it for. Okay. The ladies who know the ladies' part, sing the ladies' part as Angharad plays it. So the men sing the triumphs. Can you?
The triumphs of his grace. The triumphs.
That part, okay?
That's
so if you're a lady, sing that part. If you're a man, sing the man's part. Okay, we'll go for it. Let's sing.
Thank you.
Now to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood and made us kings and priests to his God and Father, to the only wise God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, power, might, dominion, both now and even forevermore. Amen.